World. Today's daf in the Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Tet. We're holding right at the bottom of daf Kuf Chet Omud Beit, and we just spoke about the way that Eliezer of Avram and Shem had this conversation, and he wanted to know, what exactly did you do in the Teva? And how did you, and he asked him back, and how did you win the war against all of those kings? And he said, well, we had this amazing dirt, and we had this amazing kash, and it turned into guided missiles, into bullets, and it just took care of everything for us. So we continue on with that story, because there's some more recent developments in Gavi's neighborhood. Nochomish Gamzu. So Nochem Ish Gamzu had this way of always saying, to call the Havisalkele, Amar Gamzu Latova, wouldn't matter what happened to him, he would always say, okay, this also clearly, this is also going to be good for me. And obviously, Lemaisa, he's really from the town of Gimzo. So they made a play on words of it. So Nochem Ish Gimzo became Nochem Ish Gamzu because of Gamzu Latova. But anyway, so one time, Yom Echad, Bo Yisrael Shadur Doron LeKesar. So Klal Yisrael needed to send a gift to the Caesar of Rome to try to influence what was going on there. Anyway, so they were wondering who is able to take this gift. I mean, it's dangerous. You go around the road, you're going to bring valuable things. Who knows what could happen to you? So, you know what? Neshad Ebadi Nochem Ish Gamzu makes sense to choose Nochem Ish Gamzu as the Shliach. And we need, he's a person that is melumad beneath him. That's like standard by him that things happen that are miracles when he goes along. So, Yirtzeh Hashem, things will work out. Okay, so Nochem Ish Gamzu is going along. He comes to a hotel, Boi L'Meivet, he wants to stay over. So Amrulai, so they said to him, well, he wants to put this stuff in the safe for the night, you know. So I say, well, what are you putting in the safe? Ma'ikabadach. So he says, well, I'm bringing this gift to Kesar, so I need it to be very safe. Anyway, in the middle of the night, Sharino the Sifte, they open up the safe. The shark Lakota Havigabe, they take everything that was inside of the box that Nochem had put in, which was full of gold and diamonds and so on, they filled it up with dirt. So Kimatala Hasam, Ishtaka Chafra, he arrives there in Rome. They open it up to see the grand gift of the Jews, and it's full of dirt. So Omar, so obviously, he got a little bit angry, to say the least, and they wanted to kill him, because, I mean, after all, playing games with me, to pretend to be sending me something, and then they insult me. So they took Nochem Ish Gamzu out to be killed. And Nochem says, well, Gamzu Tova, you know, a little bit of killing here and there. Everything turns out for the best. Anyway, Elio comes along, and Idmiluk Echad Minayu, he takes on the look of one of them, so that they think, ah, this is Henry Kissinger. So Omar, listen, you got to be crazy. Well, you think these Jews, they're suicidal? Of course, that can't be the point. This has got to be some type of incredible gift. The thing I can think of is that this must be some of that dirt from Avram, and he used that in the First World War. And these are like really guided missiles, you know? I mean, you don't know what you're looking at, man. What he used to throw a little bit of this dirt, it would turn into charve, he would throw some straw, it would turn into gire, which is exactly what we learned yesterday. So they tested it out, and sure enough, it was guided missiles, and they had this area for years. The Romans had been trying to conquer, you know, Carthage. You know, I mean, who knows where was Shadum? They sent some of these missiles, and that's really the turning point in history. The Romans end up taking everything over, Koshua. So they take Nochem into the inside treasure house, the big Nazar. They say, anything you want, you can take. Okay, so he fills up that safe that he was carrying, fills it up with gold, and here it's missing the fact that when they sent him off with an entourage and they were providing him protection, and he was like extremely cautious. So when he arrived on the way back, they see like what's going on, man. These Romans, like, so they say, what in the world did you give to Caesar? What do you mean? Says he, I gave what I had put in here, you know, whatever I took from here, that's what I gave. What do you have a chance to buy anything else? I told you I was bringing a gift. So he says to them, Mida shakla miyach, whatever I took from here, that's what I brought there. So they say, oh my God, we're sitting on a gold mine. So they dig up their house there, they dig up the hotel, you know, they bring in bulldozers, smash the hotel down, and they fill up truckloads of this dirt. They take it and they say, listen, everything that he brought you is just like a small amount of what he took from here. We're bringing you truckloads of this stuff. So they brought it there and they tested it out, and they saw that it was ridiculous, plain old dirt. Katlina Lanach the Yori. And so those guys, they got knocked off and they lost their hotel and Gamzu Letova. Anyway, going back to the next case in the Mishnah. So the next case we had of Ein Lem Chelek L'Olam Haba was the Dor HaPalaga. So Dor HaPalaga, Ein Lem Chelek L'Olam Haba. But the thing is, doesn't really say what they did wrong. I mean, like, what did they do wrong? It says that they built a tower. So, okay, big deal, build a tower. So my update. Amid Avei Reb Shila, basically, when they were saying, let's build that tower, it wasn't just a tower. It was Nivne Migdal V'Nalel Rakia V'Nakeoto B'Kardumot K'day She'Yazuvu Mimav. Basically, they wanted to have a way to control what goes on in the Shemayim. You know, so they were going to basically take over the heavens, and they will control the water flow from the Shemayim. So when the people, Talmid Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, heard this pshat that they said in Bavel, they said, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I mean, you know, why would they build a tower in a valley if what they wanted to do was get as high as they possibly could? Don't you think it's a little ridiculous? I mean, they could have chosen a mountain somewhere. Livnu achad b'tura, no? So that can't be what it is. Oh, my Rabbi Yirmi bar Elazar, basically, nechleku b'shalosh kitot. They had three different approaches of why it was they wanted to build this city, this tower. Achat omeret na'alev v'neshev sham. So one said that they wanted to just go up there and live in the Rakia, and that would give them, you know, they didn't have to go all the way up, but they needed to go up to the Rakia, and that would give them security. They could fight in case Midas HaDin wanted to make any trouble for them. Achat umeret na'alev na'avod avodat kochavim. We should go up there. This would be the most incredible, beautiful migdal that was built, the Kovet Avodah Zarah. Let's go and fight straight out to anything that they try to do to us from the Shamayim. So it's interesting that there's the, you know, this pshat by the Akedas Yitzchak, where he says that this thing must have been a rocket launcher. And they, I mean, how could anybody be stupid enough to think you could build a skyscraper tall enough to reach the sky? So it was actually, I mean, this was before there were any space travel, obviously, at the time that gave us the talk, but he came up with this on his own. So it must have been some kind of rocket launcher, which, of course, became the Nimrod launch, which was the Challenger. Exactly. Amazing. Okay, anyway, so each one of them was punished accordingly. So the one that said, we can go up to the Shemayim and live in the Shemayim. So Hashem scattered them. You want to live in the Shemayim? Go out to the desert. He scattered them all over the earth. And the other one that says, let's go and fight with God. Okay, fight. He turned them all into apes. He turned them all to Shadim, into Ruchot, into these Lilith, you know, also, Rashi says, they're also a type of shading, but they fly around. In order that they shouldn't be able to have these ridiculous philosophical discussions and make these plans and persuade other people to get involved, so then Hashem destroyed their ability to utilize language in such ways that would in any way end up persuading people to do avodas kochavim. So it became mida keneged mida. Okay, we've got Reb Nochum Ish Gamzer's little picture over here. Right here on the Daf group, sent to us by Gavi. Tanya, Rabbi Natan, Kulam L'Shem Avodas Kochavim Nizkavim. Look, it doesn't matter what they were saying. I mean, but basically, all of them were thinking in terms of Avodah Zarah. We could see that clearly from the language that they used. Because if it says Na'aseh Lanu Shem, that the concept of shame is always associated with Elohim Achirim. V'shem Elohim Achirim Lo Tazkiru. So the question of their ultimate, maybe a hidden goal, but the ultimate desire on their parts was to go ahead and to worship on some level Avodas Kochavim. Did you just go special out there, Gavi, just to take that picture for us?
No, that was from the other day, a little while back.
Oh, okay. That's very special. Thank you. Amazing to feel you right there with Nochum Ish Gamzer. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what happened in the end to the Migdal? Migdal Shlish Nisraf. So the top part was burned.
Did I miss something? I skipped.
Yes, I think you...
Could be I warped. Okay.
I think you fell into a nail warp, yeah. But just in case not, maybe it's us who fell into the warp. I don't know. So as we said, wherever it says shame, I remember saying those words. It's always a reference to shame of Himachirim. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. So the top of the Migdal was burned. The lower part, which was the foundation, just got swallowed up in the ground and sunk. And the middle third is now underground where the foundation was, but that's still Kayam. Omar Rav, you should know that even being in that area, the Avir of the Migdal is Mishakeach. So it's still, it would cause you to have memory problems if you lived there, because after all, Kadosh Baruch Hu was making them forget their language, right? And because of that, the place itself is now misugal for affecting your memory. And living in that area is going to actually make you forget your learning. And don't expose yourself to that Migdal, even from the Avir. Actually, says Rabbi Yosef, even the names of Bovel and Bursif are a simon. And they're a simon ra l'tera, because they are a simon that you're going to forget your learning. Because look, what is Bursif? I mean, we know Bovel. Bovel means bala, which means forgetting. Balbel, it's just like, for sure, that's a word that is full of implications for hurting your learning. But Bursif means the same thing, because what is the meaning of the word Bursif? Bor Shafi, it's like a completely empty pit. So that means everything was taken out of it. Shafi is like shofet. So it would mean your mind empties out by being in a place like that. So there's even a simon. Moving on to the next case, Anshei Sedom. Anshei Sedom ein lehem chelek l'olam haba tana rabbana. Anshei Sedom ein lehem chelek l'olam haba shana rabbana. Anshei Sedom ra'im et v'chata'im la'ashem ma'od. Ra'im means b'olam hazeh. Chata'im means that the chet continues to affect them in olam haba, so that they would have no chel. Amar Rav Yehuda, ra'im is a reference to the physical, directly their body, which was their sexual sins. And chata'im was their anti-chesed stance. That's talking about their money. How do we know ra'im is begufan? Because Yosef HaTzadik, when he was being seduced, she says to her, Eich eseh hara'a hagdola hazot. How could I sleep with you and do this terrible ra'a? So we said ra'im is a reference to some sexual sin. B'chatasi l'Elohim. Chata'im is when the Torah says that to be very careful, Devar Belial, this is talking about before Shemitah, and Ra'ayin Echa, Ba'achicha Ha'ivyon, and then Vayabach HaChet. So we see that Chet is a sin that involves seeing to it that you don't give money to the poor. La Hashem is a reference to Birkat Hashem, that they would be blasphemous. Ma'od means that they actually had in mind specifically to do bad things. Not that, like, you know, it was a shogeg, they didn't realize, or they weren't really planning it. No, 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 this is well planned. The Masnisa Tana, differently, that Ra'im is b'mamon, and Chata'im is begufan. Ra'im b'mamon, because in that same part it says, b'ra'ah, einecha b'chicha he'evyon. So that issue of ra'ah is actually not to give tzedakah. Chata'im is the Chatas Elohim, and Al Hashem also, we agree, is Birchas Hashem, but we learn that ma'od means shvichas domin. How do we learn that? Because it says by Menashe v'gam dam naki shafach Menashe harbe ma'od. So apparently we use ma'od where we can measure the actual amount of murder and so on. So it must be a reference to shvichas domin. Tana rabbana, anshe sedom lo nitka'u ela b'shvil tova shishpi'a lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In classical human fashion, the reason that Anshe Sedom became so haughty was because of the incredible good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just poured out on them. Because what does it say about Anshe Sedom in the Pasuk? Again, we're back to the Psukim in Iyov that define the nature of this Risha. So that says there, Eretz mimena yetzei lechem, v'tachteh ne'apach kamash. There's a land from which so much bread comes forth, a very rich land, and in the end, it was turned upside down by fire. That was a reference to Sodom. And mikom sapir avanel, it's stones, it's simple stones, were sapphire. The dirt was actually gold in that place. It was an incredible place. They say the streets were lined with gold in Sodom. So this is a reference to, as Rashi says, the ayat would mean, you're not, it's a, I mean, we're using the name of birds, but it means that no burglar would be able to find a way to in any way affect them, or miragalim, let's say spies from other countries, wouldn't be able to get in there. Lo hidrichu v'nei shachatz, lo adal av shachal. There was never any dangerous monster that came in there. Not even a lion would come in. Everything was safe. It was wonderful. So v'chimiach, they said to themselves, you know, this is the most incredible place in the world. This is Sodom exceptionalism. V'chimiacher she'eretz mimena yetzei lechem. V'afrod zahavlo. What do we need people? We need immigrants. What, are you crazy? We can keep all of this stuff for ourselves, and we should start now supporting a bunch of Muslims. So if that's the case, lama lanu ovrei drachim, why should we allow people in here? We should keep this. Why do you think they're coming here? They're coming here because they want to get on our welfare. Let us make laws against allowing anybody in. And bo v'nishakach torat rego me'artzenu. No visitors. Shenemar parats nachal me'imgal, hanishkachim mine regel dolo me'enosh nohu. So there was this immense burst of fire and sulfur that came out from the place where they had made sure that the mine regel, nobody who was wandering on the road would ever be allowed in there. And because of that, they themselves were banished to be forgotten by men. Dorash Rava Maidich Tiv Ad Anu Taotetu Al Ish Teratzachu Huchem Kekir Natui Gader Hatechuya. So what do you think that the Pasuk here in Tehillim is referencing when it talks about doing all kinds of nasty planning against a person? Murderers, all of you, like walls that are almost toppling. Well, what does that mean? They would identify people that were rich. They would put him next to a wall that was easy, about to collapse. And then they would smash the wall down on him and ba'im v'notlim et mamono, and then come and take his money, which is exactly what the governments do nowadays. They identify anybody who's got any money, they make a case against them, which is the wall, then they push the wall over on them, take all of his money for the taxes and claims that he owes this and owes that, and then they kill him. Dorash Rova, my dechtiv. Chotar b'choshech batim yomam chitmu lamo. Lo yadu'u or. This is another one of Eov's strange psukim, which is chatar means like he digs in the darkness, and then in the daytime they close themselves in and they never understood the light. What does that mean? Ah, this is brilliant. What they would do was before the days when you could buy those little apple things, you know, which you plant in somebody's back pocket and then you never know it. What do they call them? The apple, what are they called?
iPod?
Those little buttons that you put in a wallet to be able to
trace. Tags,
right, thank you. So before they had Apple tags, they had something much more sophisticated, and that was molecular tags. So what did they do? They would actually deposit, instead of an Apple tag, they would deposit a farsimon. Now, farsimon is extremely delicious smell. It gets all over the place. All you need is a couple of molecules to get, and you can sniff it, right? So that's what they would do. They would go around like a bunch of black riders sniffing so that they would know wherever that they would go to a guy that's got a lot of money. Do me a favor. This is worth a lot of money. Store this for me. The guy would put it into his storage space. Then they would come at night with an afarsimon sniffer, and they would dig it up and steal the entire place, right? So le'erev ba'inu merichino to kekelev, shenemar yesh, that's what the pasuk says. After all, David HaMelech writes, yeshuvu le'erev, they come back at night, and then yamuka kolev, they're sitting there barking like a dog as they've gone around the city, so that they could sniff it all out. When they sniff it, they dig it up. They would take anything that that guy had. Arom Yalino, this is more from Eov, all basically about Sodom. Arom Yalino, they would let people sleep out in the cold without any clothes. Well, are you going to give them clothes, these homeless? You're crazy. The ain kisut bakara, they had nothing to warm them in the cold. Chamor yitomim yinhagu, they would take away even the poor orphan's donkey. Yachbulu shor almana, take away as a mashkan the widow's ox, which was all she had. Gvulot yasigu eder gazlu vayiru, they would move the gvulot, so that they could steal other people's property. They stole the flocks, take them out for grazing. V'hulik forot yuval v'al gadish yishkot. So persons like that, that were unfortunately fell into the hands of Sodom, they would basically, after the guy would drop dead from, you know, either starvation or from the cold or whatever, they would rush him out to some kind of pauper's graveyard. Dorash Reb Yossi b'Tzipori. So Reb Yossi was saying this over in a shir that he gave, you know, one of the popular shirim that they had, and he said all of this over. He was giving a shir in Shul on Shabbos about Sodom. Anyway, that night, there were 300 break-ins in Tzipori because the people thought this was such a great idea that they all tried the new Apple tag, molecular Apple tag, and it worked like a charm. Anyway, all of the Balabatim who were victimized, they came to Reb Yossi, and they started demanding that he be responsible. And they said to him, you know, Yavitur Chilaganavi, what is this? You're giving classes in how Aganavim can come? This is outrageous. Amarlu, am I supposed to know that all of you are a bunch of thieves? It's probably the correct gears is the Atun. Kenavi is the Girsi. I'm supposed to know that I'm talking to a bunch of thieves. I thought I was talking to Bnei Terah, fine people. If I would have known that you people are like that, I never would give such a shear. Anyway, l'maisa Rabbi Yossi was so choshev in Tzipori that kikonach nafshe de Rabbi Yossi shafei marzevei Tzipori doma. The actual gutter spouts of Tzipori were dripping with blood as a sign of the tsar of Tzipori at the loss of Rabbi Yossi. Anyway, speaking of Sodom, now Sodom, they are the source of a lot of the laws that we find around here. And so they said, okay, somebody who's got one ox, so then it makes sense that he should participate in the public grazing. So everybody takes a day, you know. So since his ox is going to be taken care of, so he should donate one day a month, whatever, and he should be Mari Chad Yuma. Now, if somebody has no oxen, so a guy like that, he's a schnorrer, and therefore he's got to earn his way by working 2 days, because what's he doing schnorring around here? And because of that, the let lately retray you made. So there was this Yosem, who was the son of an Almona, a mamish. He had nothing. His mother had nothing. They didn't own an ox. So, okay, they gave him all of their shavarim, and he was supposed to work for 2 days. Anyway, he was not too happy with this, so he goes and he kills all of them. And then he says, okay, everybody, I don't know what happened over here, but anybody who gave me one ox can take one skin. Anybody who didn't give me an ox should take two skins. Amrulai says, what are you, crazy? What are you giving away our ox skins? What's wrong with you? You're nuts, my high. Amrulai, what do you mean? It's exactly how the whole thing works around here, doesn't it? Sof dina ketchilas dina. I mean, it's only fair if the tchilas din, if you have a shor, then you give 1 day, but if you don't have a shor, you have to give 2 days. So then the sof din is the same way. If you have a shor, you take one skin, but if you don't have any shor, you take two skins. I thought I was just following the letter of the law. The ovar b'mavra native chadzusa. They say, if you go across the dangerous area over here, it's very strange because a mavra, Rashi is learning that it means ma'avorat, meaning that it's the place where the water goes through, and it was very dangerous. But, I mean, the normal meaning of mavra is that you take a ferry or a bridge that goes over it. So, okay, but we'll see later on there's a different thing like this, which I think is why Rashi is masbir differently over here, because later on it does discuss people who don't take the ferry. So anyway, if you risk your life crossing over the Mavra, then your entry fee into Sodom is one zuz. But if you come in here from any other road, then you have to pay two zuz, because you didn't risk your life for it. The Havile Dar to live. Let's say a guy had a factory of bricks, you know, so he would put the bricks out, make a row of bricks, and people would walk by. Whoever walked by would take one brick. So when he sued them, they would say, "What? Well, you're suing me for a brick? For one brick? I took one brick. What? You've got thousands of bricks." Anyway, he ended up with nothing. Somebody who had grown garlic or onions and he spread them out in the sun. Same thing would happen. People would walk by. Everybody would just take one. I'm just tasting it. What do you mean you put it out here? Well, I took one. What's the big deal? What are you going? What are you getting so hot under the collar here, man? And they had four famous judges. And their names were Shakrai, Shakrurai, Zaifei, and Matsrei Dina. So one of them was just a regular liar. One of them was an amazing liar. One of them was a famous forger. And the other one was a guy who would pervert any din. Okay. Anyway, so here are some of the great laws that they had. Let's say somebody hits his wife, his friend's wife, and causes her to have a miscarriage. So then they would tell the husband, well, you better give him your wife so that she can get her pregnant. Because after all, he cost you the child. He owes you that pregnancy. Let's say somebody would come and cut off an ear from another guy's donkey. So they would say, well, they say the owner of the donkey, give him the donkey so he can take care of the donkey till that ear grows back. Right. That's just any day now. The Pola Le Lechavre, if somebody gave another person stabbed another person. So the judge would say, well, pay the guy who stabbed you. After all, he saved you a lot of money because you didn't have to go to a doctor to let blood. And this is too close to home here. The Shakalach Dama, after all, he's taken your blood. The Avar B'Mavra, somebody who went on the boat, on the ferry, he's got to pay 4 zuz for the ferry. But if he actually walked through the water or swam across, he's got to pay 8 zuz. So Zimna Chada, a particular koveis, came to Sodom, and he thought this was a normal town. So he comes there, and they say to him, give us the 4 zuz for the ferry. Nah, I didn't go on a ferry. I went through the water myself. I don't owe you anything. I'm like, what? You didn't take the ferry? Oh, my gosh, made a mistake. Then you owe us 8 zuz because you went through the water, not on the ferry. He refused to give them any money, and so they beat him up. So he sues, comes to the court. The court says, well, they actually did you a big favor taking all of that blood. So now, besides the 8 zuz that you owe, you have to pay them for the bloodletting. Man, this is just getting worse. Anyway, once Eliezer Eved Avram, he came through Sodom, and they attacked him, and because he was trying to collect money that was owed for him, so they attacked him, and he was bleeding. So he goes to court. So the dayan says to Eliezer, well, now you owe him for letting blood. So Eliezer takes a rock, and he smashes the head of the judge. Says the judge, what? My eye. I mean, what's the problem? You actually owe me money because I just let your blood. And I'll tell you what, why don't you just pay the guy directly instead of giving it to me, and I'll give it to him. I'll leave my money in my wallet, and you guys settle up directly. After all, you never heard of the Shibuda de Reb Nosson. So yeah, you pay him. There was another story, and this was Eliezer in Sodom again, but this was a story. It was one of Rav Huttner's famous sayings. But anyway, so they had a particular bed. What was the name of that bed in the myth? Well, it's the same bed where they would stretch. I can't remember right now. So it wasn't Prometheus. Who had the bed that they would stretch a person? If he didn't fit on the bed, they would stretch him out.
Was it something like Demosthenes or Demosthenes' bed? I seem to remember vaguely something like that. The bed of Demosthenes or something like that, no?
Damocles.
No, Damocles was a sword.
No, Procrustes.
Right, Procrustes. Thank you. Okay. I thought for a minute Prometheus would make sense. A Procrustean bed. Anyway, so they had the same bed. So if somebody, and they would put every guest on that bed, and if he was too tall, they would cut off his legs, you know, to make him fit. Yes, they would guy his leg. And if he was too short, so then they would stretch him until he broke. And Eliezer Eved Avram was once, when he came to Sodom that time, so they put him into the Sodom hotel. So come, sleep on our magic bed. Oh, says Eliezer, from the day that my dear mother, God rest her soul, died, I said to myself, I will never go into bed again. My poor mom. So sorry, I can't go into bed. So so he's Amaron Nidra Nadri Min Yuma Damitat Ima Loga Nina Puria. I will never sleep in a bed again. Okay. So anyway, they couldn't do anything. But this was Rav Huttner who said about a particular yeshiva many years ago, before there were a lot of yeshivas. That yeshiva is a mitat sedom for the brain.
Rebbe, didn't he talk about the hanhagos of the yeshiva, that if we're not careful and everybody does this thing, which they ended up doing in a few generations?
All I know is that what he said about that yeshiva. Anyway, ki ave misraimilu aniya. So when an ani would come along, so of course they were very much into showing what kind of tremendously kind people they were. And so Yovelei kol chad v'chad dinara. Everybody would give a dinner, but he wrote his name on that dinner. And they had a rule in town that they do not sell any food to people who are coming in from outside of town. So when the guy would drop dead of hunger, hati kol chad v'chad, everybody would go find the dinner that belonged to them and took the dinner back. So hati kol chad v'chad, shoko didei. Talk about virtue signaling with your name on it, no less. Anyway.
No free suppers.
That's right. They had this great idea in which anybody who was found to have invited a stranger to a wedding is going to be, they're going to strip his clothing, meaning everything he owns are going to take from him. Anyway, so there was a wedding going on. Eliezer Eved Avram came to Stoma on that day, and he wasn't able to get any bread because, of course, he didn't have his Stoma identity card. And so he decided, okay, he wanted to eat. He goes into the wedding, and he sits down at the end of the bench over there, and the guy turns to him and says, what the heck are you doing here? Who are you? Who invited you here? So he says in a loud voice, oh, you invited me. Thank you so much. The guy says, oh, my God, they're going to hear that I invited him. The guy jumps up, picks up his clothes, runs out before anybody could hear what he says. So then he would move on to the next guy. The guy would look at him and say, who invited you here? And he'd do the same thing. And then when he got rid of all of the guests, he just ate the whole soda. All right. Wild Gemara is here. All right, so Omer le manaz mincha olahacha. Omer le levudi yotzi v'atazimantan. Oh my God, the guy says, Omer duma shame beidana. Azminte, they're going to, dana azminte. Meshach le mani dahi gavra. Shoko glima. Nahudi yosef gabeim ran out. V'rat levra. V'chein omar dekulam. V'ochla iyule sudas. I said, quite a bit to eat. Anyway, Haviyahi Ravisa is the famous story that Rashi brings. Haviyahira Vita, to have come after Rifta Lania Vachatzpa. She had like a false bottom in her bucket that she used to bring to take water. And then when she would see somebody who was poor, she would open up the false bottom, take out bread, and give it to them. Anyway, it was found by the Sodomite, Igloi Milsa. So what did they do? They cover her over with honey, put her on top of the wall of the city, and Ota Zibure Vachlua. Anyway, the bees came, stung her to death. Zakat Sedom Vamoraki Rabba. That Rabba, Rav, is Reba, that young girl. Al Iske Reba. Next piece in the Mishnah was the Miraglim, Inam Chelik Lalam Haba. Next case was Adat Korach, Enam Chilek Lulam Abba. Shinemar, Vatchas Alehem Haaretz, that's Vatchas Alehem Olam Hazeh, Vayavdu Mitocha Kahal, that's Leolam Haba, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer says, no. Because we find that actually Chana says in her Shira, Hashem me mitu bechayem oricha over yod. So she was referring back to the antecedents of Shmuel, this child that she was zecha to, which is Adas Kerach. And so it says over there, oricha over yod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them down to the depths of hell and takes them out again. Tana Rabbana. Adat Korach, in lem chelek lolam haba, shinem avat chasav, im oritz balam hasev, yavdu mitoch hakal lolam haba, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Here in the Braita, we have Rabbi Yehuda ben Bedera saying, no, the fact that it says, vayovdu, doesn't mean they're lost to olam haba, because they could be ka'avedah mitbakeshet. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is searching for them. They are lost. We find David HaMelech says that. Ta'iti kiseh oved. So, I have gone lost. Like a lost sheep, right? But Keshavdeh, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go to find me. Help me to recover. Ki mitzvotecha lo shachachti. So Adarab, it's possible to be avad and yet to be found. Okay, so let's go through that parsha, a little bit of Korach, Because first it says Vayikach. What do you mean Vayikach? Took what? Very strange ways of Vayikach Korach. Omre Shlokesh, it means Shlokach Mikach Rolatzma. You know, this guy made a terrible deal for himself. He actually, I mean, he's a very rich guy, as we're going to see. But boy, what a bad deal he got from that money. Lakach Mikach Rolatzma. Why is he called Korach? Shinaseh Korach Ha'bi Yisrael. He made quite a bald area when everybody was swallowed by the earth. Ben Yitzhar, that's a Lashon of Tzohorayim. Ben Shirtiach Alev et Kol Olam Bat Katzohorayim. It was like, whew, a lot of anger against him, like the sun at in the afternoon when it's very hot. Ben Kehat, Ben Shehikar Shinei Molidav. He put those who gave birth to him, he embarrassed him so terribly. Ben Levi, this guy became a big Leviah in Gehenna. Everybody is in Gehenna, came out, you know, wow, this is amazing. Wait a minute, so if you're going to be Dorish like that, so couldn't you say Ben Yaakov as well, and then Darshan Ben Yaakov, which would mean Ben Sha'akav Atzma L'Gehenom? So he actually fell through his Akev into Gehenna. And then it would be the whole Yichus. How come you left out Yaakov? Amr Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak, Yaakov bikesh rachamim al atzmo. Shenemar b'sodam al tavo nafshi, b'kalam al techad kivodi. So it's a reference to b'sodam. Who had a sod? A sod is basically a kabbalah, a conspiracy. Who did that? That was the Meraglin. Al tavo nafshi. So that's basically, we don't find that anybody is called Yaakov. So because of that, he says, I don't want to be part of this. And it could be that maybe over there also it had to do specifically with Shimon. I don't know. It's very unclear why it would be in terms of Shimon Velevi with the Meraglim. Bisodam el Meraglim b'kolam is Adas Kerach, where it says over there, Hikal, that's Kahal. What's the business of Dasan Vaviram that they were all part of Korach? It says Dasan Vaviram, Matayim HaChamishim. Dasan is called Dasan Sha'avar Aldat El. He was the one who was over on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Anhoga. Aviram means She'iber Atzmo. He made himself so strong about Tshuva that he would never think about it. Anytime that it would come into his head, he had ways of avoiding any thoughts of Tshuva. On means someone who was Yoshev Ba'aninut, and he changed his mind about how it is that he had gotten, how did I get involved with these people? So he basically turned away from what he had originally agreed to, as we'll see in a moment. And he's been Pelet because Nasulo Pelaot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Nisim for him to save him. And these were B'nai Reuven. In what sense Reuven? Ben Shira'ah. Vehevin, this was at last, was one guy that saw what was going to happen and realized that this is not the kind of place I should be with. Omarav, the truth is that On Ben Pelet, his wife saved his skin because she said to him, and this the Gemara is going to later on be Derish the Pasuk, is tremendously chashuv limud, that she is considered to be the example of Chochmas Nashim Bansa Besa. How does a woman's chachma build her home? Do you take a look here at the way that On Ben Pelet's wife spoke to him? She didn't tell him you're doing the wrong thing. She didn't tell him you're going to end up killing yourself. She didn't tell him this is usher. She asked him, gosh, what are you going to get out of this? My nafka l'chamina. I mean, if Moshe wins, you're still going to be second class. And if that other guy, Korach, wins, you're also going to be a Talmid. You're not going to be the boss. So I don't understand. Why are we wasting our time instead of doing things that are good for you, that you can get ahead in life? So now, okay, so you're not arguing with me, right? Wonderful. So that's one of the big eights of this marvelous book. First, kill all the marriage counselors. That's like every eights that they give you is garbage. This is the eights. Fine. So then he said to her, gosh, you know what? You're right, but What about what should I do now? I already like committed myself. Avoid the Eitz. I was talk to them and I promised them. Yishtabai li ba'adayim. I promised them that I'm going to come as soon as they tell me. So she said to him, "Well, I have a perfect idea. Okay, I know that these guys are very frum. I mean, look, one of the big things that they're saying is kolei dakulam kedoshim. I mean, like that's their rallying cry. So they must be super frum. So I have a simple idea. The simple idea is always use people's religion against them. That's the idea. They're convinced that they're very religious. I have a perfect idea." So she says to her husband, Orange, she says to him, "Listen, you just go back into the bedroom, you know. I'm going to take care of you." So she gives him a nice drink, and he got high enough to fall asleep. So she puts him to bed inside of the bedroom, and she sits at the front of the tent. And her brilliant idea was, these guys, they say that they are super frum, right? So now, if I have my hair uncovered, I mean, no self-respecting frum, amazing man, kulam kedeshim. If they see my hair is uncovered, they'll run the other way. Heck, even if it showed up in a newspaper picture, they would make sure that they would get rid of the picture. So I got nothing to worry about. So she lets her hair down. Sitarte lamazio. So everybody that came from Korach's very, very frum kahal called out to see a woman sitting there with her hair uncovered. Oh my gosh, they turn around and run in the other direction. Meanwhile, they never wake up Own Ben Pellet, so he doesn't have to come because he only promised them when they call him, but they never called him. By the time he wakes up, it's all over. And he balulu, they've all been swallowed up by the earth just because kulam kedeshim. It's so beautiful the way she actually talks out. Well, it's very simple. Once they call themselves Kulam Kedoshim, we know exactly what to do. Now, Korach's wife, on the other hand, she was the absolute worst in terms of is just getting him more and more involved for absolutely no reason to do exactly what he did. So she says to him one day, "You know, this guy Moshe, you're letting him get away with everything. And look what he does. Chazumaykavid, this Moses character. First of all, he makes himself the king, all right? Then, Leachua Shavik Anarabi makes his brother the Kohen Gadol. Then, he takes his brother's kids, and he makes them the Sganim of the Kohen. Now, Truma, people bring Truma. What does he say? Give it to the Kohen, which just happens to be his brother, of course. People come with Meiser, which you're supposed to be taking, my dear hubby. What does he say? Sorry, buddies, 10% goes to me. You have to give it to the Kohen. And then, I mean, have you looked in a mirror? Do you know what you look like? I mean, I don't like four-letter words, but that's exactly what you look like. So he was metaralacha ki kufta. Kufta is that four-letter word. He's treating you like a piece of it. And ena yov b'mazaychu. He obviously is jealous of your hair. That's his problem. So he made this whole thing up so that he could shave you. Korach says, "Well, he did the same thing to himself. I mean, how would it be aimed against me?" "Oy," she says, "well, obviously, Tomus Nafshi impleased him. He figures that, you know, he's already got everything that he wants out of you. So if he plays along, he says, okay, fine. So they'll take my hair too. But meanwhile, I've busted them all, turned them into idiots. And I'll give you another thing, you know. Look what he does. He says, you got to use one little thread of Tchelas, right? I don't want to mention to you how much Tchelas his buddies get to wear, you know, his brother and their children. I mean, they got this made of Tchelas, that made of Tchelas. I mean, no, but for you, you can have one string of Tchelas in your tzitzit. I mean, that's just great. I mean, if this Tchelas is really chashuv, you know, Yitzhakadakta Techelta Chashiva, I got a great idea. You have to be more chashuv than him. Afik lima de Techelta v'chasino l'chulam etivtach. take these Tevas things out in your Beis HaMedrash, take all of the guys, 250 people, cover them up in Tevas. This is the way to actually win over him. Hainu Dichtiv, and that's the meaning of the Pasuk in Mishlei. Chochmot Nashim Banta Beita. That's Ishto Shalom Ben Pelet. This is the way that a woman builds her home with Chochmah. But Ivelet Biadat Arsena. The stupid one, she uses her own house to destroy her own home. Zo Ishto Shel Korach. Okay, Rabosai. We are off and running in a wonderful new week. Hinei El Yeshua Si. Eftach V'lo Echfod. Ayudim hayta ora v'simcha v'sason v'yikar kein tihye lanu, Bezras Hashem, very soon.